day like today, I want to be in church. But if I wasn't in church, maybe some of us might be outside, right? We like to get outside. We bike. We hunt. We fish. We ski. We plow down the mountain in the powder, hopping through the moguls, right? We ski. We boat. We motorbike. I mean, I could keep on going. If you love to do those kinds of things, see those epic experiences, if you love to get out and stretch your legs, then you're a part, check this out, you're a part of the outdoor recreation economy. The outdoor, this is a brand new division that they've started researching since 2016, the outdoor recreation economy. You buy guns, you buy boats, you buy fishing rods. You're part of the outdoor recreation economy. You hire a guide to take you fishing. You buy a bike. You're a part. Some of y'all are like, I do all of those things. You're a part of the outdoor recreation economy. And the numbers are in that the outdoor recreation economy is huge. $373.7 billion. $1 billion a year. That's 2% of our gross domestic GDP. Thank you. Whatever. Gross domestic product. Thank you. I'm the one with the doctorate. Okay, here we go. But that's 2%. Now put that in context. 2% of our GDP is outdoor recreation economy. 2%. That's right up there with construction. That is in the league with agriculture. That's up there with mining and oil and gas. Would you believe it? Would you believe it that our money flows to the fun stuff? Our money flows to outdoors. Our money flows to biking, hiking, fishing, hunting, skiing, motorbiking, ATVing. Our money flows to those things at the level that it flows to those essential things we need for life. That's stunning to me when I read that. And I'm convinced it's because adventure is one of those things that God has wired us for. Adventure. That God has literally wired the human race that biking and motorbiking and the fun stuff, the outdoor fun stuff, which is not necessary for life, I do believe God has wired us for adventure. And these are the ways that we express that adventure impulse. God has wired us for epic experiences. We love to travel. You have that perfect view of that perfect hike at the end of the day on top of the mountain, and you take it all in. God has wired us for these types of things. I love it. Personally, I love it. I love fishing. I love bass fishing. I bass fish more than anything else because I live here. But I truly love trout fishing. I just don't get to do it that often. I was raised trout fishing. That's what I did with my father and my brothers. When I was old enough to go, because it's a strenuous activity where we would go, that you had to be a certain age to be able to do it. It was a little dangerous if you didn't go, which makes it even cooler, which makes it even more elusive. But you go trout fishing up in the Smoky Mountains. And in the Smoky Mountains, we would hike up the mountain because we wanted to get away from all the tourists. So we'd hike up the mountain, far up the mountain, miles up into the mountain, on this old logger's road. And you go, and the further up you go, the trail gets more narrow. The further up you go, there's no longer gravel that's been placed there. You're on dirt. The further up you go, it gets snakier and a little wilder. And then you put in. To put in means you go off the trail, and you slide down, and you go to the actual river. I'm going to put you there right now, okay? You go down to the river, and when you're off the trail and you're on the river, all you hear is the roar of the river, and everything just got colder. It's cooler on the river. You get in that river and you're climbing over boulders and the trout are real finicky and they're easily spooked, so you've got to be stealth. And so you're climbing over the boulders and then you wade into the water and the water is pulling at you even with greater force than you imagined. So you have a pole that you put down to make sure you don't get swept down the river. And then you see this thing over there. You got to get to this hole right over there. Or maybe you got your line stuck and you're over there. You have to cross over. And so you're on some very slippery rocks. Maybe a few times I went boom, you know. And all that to catch these little trout. What's the point of all this? I'm wired for adventure. I love the adrenaline. Now, I love the adrenaline of a big old bass on the end of my line. But I love all that's into the climbing, the wading, the fishing, the slipping. I love it all. I'll take it all. Why? I'm wired for adventure, and so are you. And so are you. It is a gift from God. Adventure. Adventure. Yet, like any great gift from God, we learn in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have a tendency to take God's great gifts. We've talked about the gift of comfort. God gives us comfort. God gives us intimacy, sex, the gift of sex. We've talked about all these different gifts. And we tend to take those great gifts given by God, and we will lift them inappropriately to God-like status. We'll take a gift given to us by God, we'll leapfrog God and begin to worship the gift. And yes, it's true, we will worship at the altar of adventure. We too will worship at the altar of adventure. So here's what I want to do. We're going to talk about the idolatry of adventure. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about how we get it wrong. But as is the custom of this series, first I want to help us see how we get it right. I want you to understand just how much of a gift this is from God. So first, the gift of adventure. Susan and I, when we were early in our marriage, we made a decision. We made a decision. If God has a gift for us, and we were talking about spiritual gifts or any other kind of gift, if God has a gift for us, I'm in. I'm in. I'm not going to hold off a good gift from God if he decides to give it. And I think that's a great way to live. If a good God who loves you best wants to give you a good gift, receive it. How would we receive the gift of adventure? Well, you go to the Bible, the place you always understand how to accurately receive one of God's great gifts is you go to the Bible. And like a thread woven through the pages of the Bible, we see adventure. Adventure is everywhere. Whoever told you that reading the Bible was boring? You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. The Bible is not boring. Now, the Bible is filled with all kinds of truth, sometimes the hard truth, sometimes the ugly truth, but woven through all the pages of the story between man and God is adventure. It was adventure when God walked up to Abraham and said, hey, I want you to go on a great big trip, and I want you to be the father of a great nation, my people. I want you to go, but I'm not gonna tell you where to go right now. I'll show you. You just go. Now, I think for me, I'd want a flyer. I'd want some pictures, maybe a map. But he just said, go. That's adventure. I'm going to go sight unseen. I'm leaving behind Ur. He was from Ur. I'm leaving behind Ur. Some of y'all need to leave behind her, bad girlfriend. But anyway, I'm leaving Ur behind. I'm leaving. There's a mom that just went, mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, when God looked at Moses, who had a speech impediment and filled with insecurity and had a past that might have disqualified him for the assignment, God looked past the disqualification and he said to Moses, I want you to go toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye, nose-to-nose with Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Whenever I say that, I feel like I need to say it like T.D. Jakes, the great pastor, and let my people go. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. We love our TD, Bishop TD Jakes. Okay. That is adrenaline, man, to go. I mean, have you ever been at a big business meeting and you're trying to hold back the butterflies? That's adrenaline. That's excitement. That's adventure. Can you imagine eye to eye with Pharaoh who could order your death like that? Walking into the lion's den, as it were. And there's a story about that too. Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful place that kind of captures the energy of adventure in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the honor roll of faith. The honor roll of faith, because faith really is the biblical term for the adventure that I'm talking about today. Faith is taking a leap of risk, a leap of trust, believing that God's going to catch you on the other side. That's faith. That's risk. That's adrenaline. Here, God is giving us in Hebrews 11 kind of a snapshot of adventure in the Bible. So here it is, verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Come on. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And that's just a sample of Hebrews 11. I want to do that. I want to put armies to flight. I want to shut the mouths of the lions. I want to quench the flames. I want to, oh man, that is incredible. That's powerful. That's adventure. That right there is a sampling of the heartbeat of God. God has given us adventure, and God's will for you, hear me, God's will for you is not to sit on the sidelines of life watching it pass by. It is not a spiritual thing to live a passionless, pleasureless life. God's design for you is to achieve the biblical adventure that he has for you in all of its measures. One of the signs of adventure is the gift of adrenaline. Sometimes I like to do that. Sometimes I like to see how God has gifted us by looking at the little things in the world we might pass by, whether that's looking into nature or looking into the cosmos or looking at our own bodies. Here we look at our own bodies and we see that intertwined with adventure, there is adrenaline. It's one of the signs that adventure is a gift from God. I was reading about adrenaline, doing some studies on it, and I saw that recent studies show that there's three major benefits to adrenaline. And it's a mysterious thing, and it's a powerful thing. First, when adrenaline kicks into your body, it enriches and it properly supplies the blood. So in other words, this is what's going on. When adrenaline kicks your body, oxygen increases, and blood is directed to the right muscles that are needed for the task. That's stunning. So when adrenaline hits my body, whatever I'm doing, boom, I get more oxygen, which gives me more strength, and then the blood is sent to the muscles that are needed at that moment. That is stunning how God has made us. How about number two? When adrenaline kicks into your body, phenomenal pain resistance is kicked in as well. There's a pain resistance when adrenaline hits your body. It's like there's a little wall that's created. There's a little wall. It gets between the actual injury and the brain's response. Have you ever been there where, like, you got hurt or something, you were running away from it, and you were half a mile down the road before you realized you were really hurt? Or you got cut or something, but the adrenaline was kicking in. You thought it was just a scratch, but then you realized it was worse. I've done that. That's adrenaline. Adrenaline was in your system, and you didn't feel it until later. That's adrenaline. It's crazy. Number three. When adrenaline kicks into your system, it helps you unlock maximum strength. Maximum strength. You've heard those stories. And they've even been documented of like moms in a car wreck, and there's heavy loads on their children, and they're in danger, and these moms are like, I mean, you've heard. It's like, you know, Hulk, or I don't know if I was the Bionic Man just then. That was like from 1973. I was 1 year old, but That was crazy. Where did that come from? It's just you. I didn't do that any other hour. I don't know what. Maybe I won't ever do that again. I see you sleeping. Okay. Okay. But you've heard those crazy stories, right? Of like moms like lifting stuff and like, you're like, what? How did they do that? Adrenaline. They're able to do things because here's what adrenaline does in those moments. It shuts off the inner voice that says, you can't do that. Like, you can't do that. At that point, you don't hear that voice. That voice is like, shut up, get over there. I'm saving my kid. Adrenaline is an intimate sign that God's into adventure. It's one of those intimate little signs wired into our bodies that God's into adventure. Now you may say, and join a chorus of other scientists, biologists that would say, no, this is a product of evolutionary biology. This is a fight or flight response. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's fine. But I believe the Christ follower needs to look even beyond fight or flight, because our story is not limited to this broken world. Our story is not limited. Yes, it's true. There is a fight or a flight response. That's absolutely true. And adrenaline kicks in with that fight or flight response. But if you believe the Bible, you believe that there was an existence prior to this broken world, and it was filled with peace and prosperity and no brokenness at all. And you believe that there's a world coming where God will kick sin to the curb, and there will be no more fight. There will be no more flight. What does adrenaline do? You go back to Genesis, and what did God say? Be fruitful and multiply. What I believe adrenaline is there for, I do believe, is a sign of God's design for us to have adventure. And I believe adrenaline is a gift of pleasure, and it is an enabler for our dominion. God says, be fruitful, multiply. So I'm going to put a little thing inside you that lets you. It's called adrenaline. See, God really is into adventure. He loves us to experience. He says, go fishing, great. Hey, go skiing down the mountain, awesome. Hey, buy the little mountain bike, great. Go for it. Hunter, fisher, but do all that. That's fantastic. Rock that. I love you pursuing adventure. But perhaps we might miss this gift of adventure. Maybe you're missing it right now because of control. Instead of experiencing this gift, maybe you are not experiencing this gift because of control. Now, maybe a pastor might know his church a little bit, but does anybody struggle with control? I struggle with control. I might have struggled Friday night with control. I might have struggled when I had organized and reordered the entire garage and I was showing Susan all of the plans I had for where everything was going and how we could get rid of that whole thing over there and that whole thing over there and we could put it over here by the door. It's way more efficient and it's going to be cleaner and it's going to be awesome and look how much space I've created. And she says, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? No. I got to figure it out. All you're here is to applaud me. You're just here to be thankful and be amazed at what I've done. I might be having control issues. Are you risk averse? Are you risk averse? You might be a control freak. Control, hey, I get it. But the Bible says, in Matthew 16, Jesus said, verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We read this all the time here, don't we? Quote it all the time here. If you will hold on to your life, control, you're going to end up losing it. But if you'll give up your life, then you'll gain it. So what he's saying there is that the key for you to conquer your control issues is to give control to God. Do you believe that God could do a better job with your life than you? Is it possible that God wants to walk you into some scenarios or circumstances or situations that you would not walk yourself into. Like a father who walks his children into scenarios they will not walk into, like learning to swim. We will teach them to swim, and they're crying for those first few minutes. They're freaked out. But the child who gives control to their parent to teach them how to swim learns to swim, and they have a lifetime of pleasure and adventure in the water. I'm convinced that God has water sports for us, but we're kicking against his control. We're refusing to let him guide us or teach us how to ride the bike because I don't want to skim my knee and I don't want to fall off. Control. We're less trusting than even our children would be of us. And God, if we would give him control over our lives, he would teach you to ride the bike. He would teach you to swim. He would give you those ski lessons, and you would be skiing and fishing and swimming and biking into life for the rest of your life. I hope you understand I'm speaking metaphorically right now. He is not going to teach you to ride the bike. Okay. All right. We're good? All right. Good. I saw some confused faces there for a second. You can't take the leap because of control. You can't take the risk because of control. You can't do something new. And you fight against change because of control. Control. What's driving control? Fear. Fear of failure, fear of going back, fear of becoming something that you don't want to become, fear of being like, you fill in the blank, being like that person, being like that parent, being like that whatever, brother, sister. Those fear issues become trigger issues, and you refuse to walk into the adventure God has for you because of fear or selfishness. Selfishness can drive control because there's just a way you like it. There's a way you preferred it. And the longer you go in life, you could settle into your ways, can't you? You could settle into your methods. You could settle into your patterns when God may be challenging you, even late in life, to change. Even, maybe even especially later in life, to be open to change. And the lack of adventure, the lack of life, the lack of vitality, the lack of excitement may be behind your control issues and your resistance to change because you like the world the way you've constructed it. And truth be told, control may have actually served you well. You've found some success. You've made some money. You've provided a life for others because of control. It's won you some success. Maybe there was a relationship that you wanted to be a part of. You saw that group of friends, and oh, they're cute, and they dress really great, and they like to do the fun stuff, and they go to great vacations, and I want to be on one of those trips. I want to make the Instagram photos. I want to be a part of the crew. I want to be one of the besties. I want to be that person. So you circle that group, and you say, I want to be in that group, and you work, and you navigate. You remember the story last week Susan told about how she wanted to be in that little sorority, and so she saw that one sorority girl, and she's walking. She hit the pole. You remember that? Same thing. Reaching. You're reaching for the relationship. You're reaching. When you're reaching for a relationship, they'll never know you because they only know the reachy you. They only know the reachy you. They only know the wanting you. They only know the controlling you. They don't know really you, which is why you don't really feel known. You're reaching. Now, I believe that it's not a bad thing to shepherd relationships. I believe in arranged marriage for my kids, for example. It's not a bad thing to shepherd relationships. I would even say that maybe the greatest relationships are behind your willingness to take a relational risk. Go to a community group, serve with other people, get to know somebody, invite them to your house, take a relational risk. Do something fun, go on a trip, take a relational risk. But there's a difference between taking a relational risk and controlling relationships, and here's the difference. When you're taking a relational risk for God, you're saying, God, I'm open to your divine connections, whatever they may be. When you're open to God's divine connections, he opens doors you never thought were possible. I have friends in my life that have been with us here at Keystone for a long, long time that 20 years ago, I would have never imagined us being close. I just couldn't have seen it. I couldn't have seen the person I would become. I couldn't have seen the things that I would grow into. I couldn't have seen how Susan and I would change. We could have never imagined planting a church, for example, starting a church from scratch. I couldn't have seen it, but God saw it all. And God knew that the people that I maybe in my mind thought, oh, they're going to be great friends, God knew that they really weren't for us. That gift was not for us. But God had a better gift, more for us and us for them than we ever thought possible. And if I would have just kicked against God's plan, I would have never met them, would have never gotten to know them. How many of us are kicking against the friends that God has for you? Because you've set up some kind of predetermined wall, roadblocks. Take a relational risk. Get out there. Stop trying to control. Because here's what happens. We may get the thing we wanted. You may get the thing you wanted, but when it's in your hand, it doesn't make you feel the way you thought it would. It doesn't give you the satisfaction, doesn't give you what you're looking for, and then you're on to the next thing. Control. It's a brutal thing. All right, so this is the gift that God has given us, the gift of adventure. Don't miss the gift of adventure because of your control issues. Let it go. Give God control and walk into the gift. And I'm talking literally, God may want you to loosen up and have some fun. Like I'm speaking very specifically, God may want you to have some fun, and it may be really spiritual for you to go hunting this weekend. It may be really spiritual for you to go fishing this weekend. It may be really spiritual for you to go have some fun in the neighborhood this weekend. Go ride the bike with your kids and laugh. It may be really spiritual. God may have wired you to do some more of that, but it's not limited to those physical outdoor activities. It is all of life. It is all of life. Taking a risk with your finances, taking a risk with serving, taking a risk with trusting God with His design for finances, giving, sacrificing financially as we do here at Keystone Church. All of this is in totality the walk of faith. And the walk of faith is adrenaline packed. The walk of faith is adrenaline packed. God tells you to ask that girl out. That's adrenaline packed. God tells you to start that new business, that's adrenaline packed. God tells you to serve with students or kids, that's adrenaline packed. You may be missing what God has for you by not giving Him total and complete control. All right, so let's talk about the idol of adventure. So we've seen the gift, even down to physically, God's made us for this gift. We see the gift of adventure. How about the idol of adventure? Now that we know what the real thing is, what might it look like if we were to make it the false thing? What does it feel like for me to kneel at the wrong altar, to sacrifice at the wrong shrine? Well, it could look like a couple of things. First, it could look like drama. Drama. Instead of getting in on God's adventure for your life and the faith-filled journey for you, you get your kicks being in the drama of it all. I'm talking about gossip. I'm talking about busybody, getting into stuff that you weren't supposed to get into. Drama. You know someone, or maybe you are that someone, that you create drama in your relationships, or you go where the drama is. Like there's something going on over here. Okay, I got to get a part of this right over here. I'm just going to come over here. I'm going to listen in. I can't believe that Sandy would ever say that. You know, sorry, Sandy. You run to the drama. I don't know about you, but I'm just so done with drama. I'm done with drama. Now, drama is different. But I'm not saying I'm going to have this boring life, because remember, God's made us for adventure. There's enough God-given drama in my life. I'm not looking for man-made drama. There's enough God-given adventure in my life. I'm not looking for gossip or any of that man-made stuff. We don't have time for it. We don't have time for it. My kids take it all up from me. There's enough drama there. I don't need to create drama. I'm trying to offload some drama. I'm trying to get rid of some drama. We don't want to make some drama. But today could be a good day for you, because really there may be something inside of you that you are made for adventure. And even at a young age, you were taught this, or maybe just you found it and you started doing it, that you satisfied that craving for activity. You satisfied that craving of adrenaline and drama, or you of adventure, and you satisfied it with drama, and it worked for you, and it made you feel a certain way, and it became a pattern in your life, and today's a good day for you because you need to get off the drama train. You need to get off the drama train. You need to depart from the drama train because healthy people will not relate to you well. If you relate to others through drama, healthy people will not relate to you well. Eventually, your drama patterns will be exposed. Healthy people want peace. They want functional relationships. They don't want drama. Healthy people won't be able to trust you if you're a drama person because your drama will override trust, privacy. Drama is not a good destination for you. It's a bad therapy. It's bad therapy. You got to lay it down. You got to let it go. Drama will not help you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, make it your goal to live a quiet life. I love that. Make it your goal to live a quiet life. It's like the writer of Thessalonians, he knew, you're not going to have a quiet life, so let's aim for it. Like if you're aiming for a quiet life, it'll be better than if you weren't. But there's no such thing as a quiet life. drama's coming. Why create it? What make it your goal to live a quiet life? Minding your own business. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, mind your own business. That'll feel good. You've been wanting to say that for 3 months. Mind your own business. Now touch him on the shoulder and say, you mind your own business. What are you talking about? You know, drama can happen in the church too. Drama happens in the church. And we have decided here at Keystone from early on, no drama here. We're not doing the drama. We're not doing the gossip at Keystone Church. I believe gossip can become a culture in a church. And you say, oh, well, we're praying for one another. We're sharing one another's burdens. But that's a burden I never gave you to share. We decided a long time ago, we as a church will not be fueled by drama. Drama stops a church in its tracks. Drama at the business meeting. Drama at the latest news. Drama about the color of the carpet. That's why we don't have carpet. Drama at the... There's been no drama over our place to call home. No drama whatsoever. No factions of people arguing over the color of the Spanish tile. No groups of people saying, well, I think it should look more like this. Or no drama here. You know why? Because early on we decided no drama at Keystone Church. We have enough activity following the great mission of Jesus Christ, helping marriages get healed, helping addictions get broken, being a part of the hands and feet of God in the world. We've got enough activity that people on mission aren't in on the drama. Bored Christians have lost their adventure, and they're trying to find it. They're trying to find it by talking about this or talking about that or organizing that or getting a little group to do that. And they're trying to find their adventure, and they're finding it in the Christian drama, not here. We're going to be so focused on God's mission for our life, we won't have time for the drama. You'll be praying for your friends. You'll be praying for your friends this Christmas. Who can I bring this Christmas? That you're not interested in how much they spent on their Christmas lights or why they didn't hang it themselves. Drama. Drama. Sitting busybodying. That's what 1 Thessalonians is talking about. Don't be a busybody. We weigh in on people's lives. We don't even know them. We don't even know them. Drama. Another way that we would kneel at the wrong altar is godless thrill seeking. Godless thrill seeking. Now, I think that God wants to give you thrills and chills all day long. That, remember, he's wired you for the adventurous life. But there is a godless thrill seeking. A godless thrill seeking is like Solomon wrote about in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, one of the great kings of Israel, by worldly standards, the way the world would measure it through GDP, for example, that's gross domestic product, in case you're missing that. He was the most successful Israeli king by worldly standards. He had the most wealth, he had the most construction, he had the most power, he had the most peace, he was by far. But by God's standards, he made some mistakes. Now, how he made the mistakes was he was incredibly gifted by God, and he received those gifts, and it turned into success. But then soon after the success, he began to turn the gift into a god. It's American Idols. It's American Gods. It's this series. He did it. He wrote a book of Ecclesiastes later in life, very, very helpful, as he reflected on all the ways he was trying to find his adventure. The book of Ecclesiastes is about the wandering heart. The wandering heart. C.S. Lewis talked about, it's like the writer of Ecclesiastes is in a laboratory of life, and he's trying this experiment for life, and he's trying that for fun, and he's trying that for life, trying to find something that will satisfy him. And in the end, he says, all of those pursuits are meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. And at the very, very end, he says, the only thing left, you know, after I did all that, wasted so much time, wasted my life, he says to anybody that would read this, love God and embrace his design. You know what that is? Give him control. This is the man who had all the money. This is the man who had all of the pleasures, all the power. And at the end, he said what Jesus said. If you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life and give it to me, you'll find it. He had a wayward heart. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. You ought to read it sometime. And he would try all these things. He would go from one thrill to the next thrill. He'd try this thrill. He'd try this pleasure, eating and drinking. And then he'd try wisdom. And then he'd try power. He'd try politics. He tried war. He tried all these different things, building great buildings, building a legacy, building these great things. And at the end, he said, I've had a wayward heart, a wandering heart. Might you have a wandering heart? There's a hole in your heart, and you're trying to fill it with thrills rather than fill it with God, who then gives you thrills. You have a hole in your heart, and you're trying to fill it with thrills. Hey, let's go on a helicopter ride, and then after that, we're going to float down the river, and after that, we're going to fish the Amazon, and after that, we're going to go to this sporting event, and after that, we're going to take this trip, and then we're going to play these rounds of golf, and then we're going to go hunting over here, and then on and on and on and on, and you can't stop because you've got to keep filling the hole. Got to keep filling the hole. Remember, nothing wrong with those things individually as a gift, but you got to keep filling the hole because you see, whatever hole is in your heart, you're going to ask some kind of either false God or right God to fill it. False gods leave you thirsty. False gods leave you hungry. And seeking the thrills and chills will keep your wandering heart activated for more, never satisfied, always looking. Always looking. And that can even happen in some of our most intimate relationships, the bedroom. Word of warning to our young men and women who want to get married one day. Word of warning to those of us that have consumed enough Hollywood that we think that that's the norm, and it's not. That we can bring a wandering spirit into the bedroom, and we could, and I've seen this, I've had young couples who had just been married for a short period of time, and they were one signature away from signing the divorce papers because this little Christian couple, because some lie they bought in the culture or some stuff they had watched, and they started to reach that patch of marriage where they were getting used to one another, and they said, you know, we need to spice it up. So they began to introduce things into the marriage to spice it up. Pornography and other things, spice it up. And at the end, the woman, she just looked at her husband and she said, I just wonder, at what point was I not enough? At what point was just being with me? At what point was I mean, at what point was this no longer about us? That wandering heart can make it into every square inch of your life. It is a danger zone. You know, sometimes the greatest adrenaline and the greatest adventure for you just may be for you to slow down and get real simple. Maybe you're not hurting for some epic experiences. Maybe you've done all that. Maybe for you, the next adventure for you is to slow down and get simple and to embrace all that life God has for you. Hebrews 11, let me wrap up with this thought. Hebrews 11, let's go back to it. Starting at verse 35. In Hebrews 11, verse 35, he goes on. I read about the, remember, he led the kingdoms and he quenched the fires and you shut the mouths of the lions. I'm like, yeah, I want that. Yeah, that's adventure, man. That's, you know, love that. But then in verse 35, he says, women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. So in this chapter of adrenaline, he moves from shutting the mouths of the lions to a life of persecution. And you wonder, did he switch topics? No, he did not. Because the adventure God has for you is so pure, unfiltered, strong, and right that it takes you to the top of the peak of the highest mountain with the most beautiful view. But hear me, the adventure God has for you will also walk with you down into the valley of the shadow of death. And the adventure God has for you as you're walking through the valley, though it's hard and the money's tight and they've left and you're sick, you're walking through the valley of the shadow and he's walking with you and he's leading you by the hand into the adventure of life. And I invite you into this kind of adventure. It doesn't evaporate when the circumstances go south. It strengthens. The sense of adventure that walks with you through every trial, every trouble, every heartache, every up, every down. I was at the gym this week. That's right. I was at the gym this week. And I was there, and I was watching my son play basketball. Dressed like, you know, jeans. Anyway, and a Keystone couple came up to me, and we were talking, and she said, you know, I just left banking. I was in banking in Southlake, and I just left banking. I was like, really? I didn't know that. I didn't know. Yeah, I just left banking, but God told me to just leave that. It was successful. God said, leave that and go into personal training. I'm like, that is really leaving banking. She's like, yeah, God told me to leave banking and go into personal training. And then you're waiting on that first part of Hebrews, right, where it's like, and we made all this money and it's been so exciting and I'm going to make my first video. And you know, she's like, you know, it's been slow. It's been slow. You know, we're just getting our feet underneath us. But God told me to do it. Listen to what she said. This was Friday night. God told me to do it. It was a leap of faith, but isn't that where the adrenaline is? I couldn't believe my ears. I'm going to ask you, are you where the adrenaline is? If you're following Jesus, you just might be. That's guaranteed. Let's pray together. You're here today and you say, man, I want to be where the adrenaline is. I want to embrace God's adventure for my life, high and low. Even if I'm slipping on the rocks of life, I want to be in the right river. I want to be in God's adventure for my life. How do I do that, Brandon? Well, the first thing I'd tell you, if you want to know Jesus and you want to follow God and you want to embrace his plan for your life, it's simple. The Bible says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means if you would believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. That he conquered death, doing what only God could do. None of us could do that. He conquered death, came back to life so that we could have life. That's eternal life. You'll go to heaven when you die. But it's also an abundant life that walks with you through every circumstance. You say, I believe all that. I'm in. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm in. than just calling the name of the Lord. God, would you adopt me into your family? May I never be the same again. Just pray that right now. Believing in Jesus. God, would you adopt me into your family? May I never be the same again. If you'd pray that today for the very first time, would you let somebody know? Right now, it's between you and God, just in your heart. But would you let somebody know? Maybe that's your next adventure. The first step of adventure is letting somebody know and going and being baptized. Maybe even this weekend. Take the adventure. Christian, maybe you're here and you have settled into a predictable life. Would you embrace God's adventure for you? Trust him. Take a risk with trusting him to do money God's way. Trust him for relational risks. Trust him to serve using your gifts here in the church. May we all embark on that great adventure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a great message. Was that not awesome? Let's give God a hand for that. Yeah. God's truth never gets old. It's always fresh. It's always real. No matter how this message hits you today, maybe it's a correction for you. Maybe you're a Christ follower and you're like, you know what? I needed this for my life. I needed some changes. I've been sensing it. We've been praying about it. And this is where my decision has come. I am ready to change. Or maybe this is a new truth for you. And today, for the very first time, you trusted Christ with your life. And you're like, hey, this is new for me and I want more of it. I want to encourage you, take the leap of faith, get baptized. I'm telling you, that is an adventure, a wet adventure. You're going to get all, you know, your hair's going to be all crazy. It's cool. You have the picture to prove it. You know, it's awesome. Maybe this Christmas you want to get baptized, or maybe today it's your time. You're like, I want to go right now. I want to do this. We're ready for you. Walk out there. Totally let us go on that adventure with you. We'd love to do that. So whatever that looks like for you, my name is Jody. I'm one of our pastors here. We'd love to talk with you about that conversation. There's a connection card in your chair. You can fill that out. Let us know on the back. Say, call me. I have questions about this. I want to know more about the adventurous life. Walk me into serving. Walk me into giving. I want to know what that means for my life. We'd love to have that conversation with you. Here in a moment, we'll take our offering. You can drop that connection card in the basket. Now, if this is your first time here, you are a special VIP Keystone Church. Can we let our guests know how excited we are they're here this weekend? Hang out with us. Yeah. We love having guests here because we're on a mission here in Keller, North Fort Worth, Grapevine, and we're excited to bring you into the mission that God has for us at Keystone. We'd love to share more about that. Right after our service, bring that connection card to our VIP areas. If this is your first time here, we have a gift for you. We'd love to meet you personally right after the service. Come connect with you and us, and we'd love to meet you and your family. Thanks for being here today. Also, right now, we're going to take our offering. While you're getting ready to do that, maybe you're a guest today, you're wondering what we're doing. Really, this is the adventure of our faith and our relationship with Jesus. He leads us into a lot of areas of our life, and one of those areas is giving back to him. And we embrace this adventure here at Keystone Church with a passion. And so you give a lot of different ways at Keystone. The Keystone app is really easy. If you go on to the store and pick up the app, online is easy. Texting, all these are easy ways for you to follow God's design for giving. But also, I want to walk you to the adventure of volunteering at Keystone Church. Yes, it takes an army of volunteers to make every weekend happen here at Keystone Church, to make the experience happen in here in our kids' areas, but also for Christmas. And there's a card in your chair if you want to take on the new adventure of volunteering in our kids' areas or a hot chocolate bar or on our welcome team or parking team. Hey, we'd love to talk with you about the adventure of volunteering. We believe when you volunteer, when you walk into that God gift that he has blessed you with, he blesses you because you're using your God-given gift, but then he blesses others. And it's really fun, and it's really exciting. And we make it fun at Keystone. We're not boring. We want to make it fun. And so we'd love for you to sign up to volunteer this Christmas to make it magical and awesome for our community this Christmas at Keystone Church. So fill out the card. If you have questions, you can go online, ask there, or call us, or go to VIP. We're here to help you. So I want to invite our hosts to come forward now. Let's take our offering. Would you join me in praying over our offering right now? Father, thank you so much for all the gifts, the gift of even today, your truth, and the opportunity to come in and worship you, be reminded of the adventurous life that comes from you, that there's more to our life, and we believe the more of life is found in you, that when we find you, we find more life. And God, right now, I pray as we walk into the adventure of trusting you with our money, with our gifts, with our resources that you've blessed us with, God, we just give it back to you. With hands off, no strings attached. God, we're asking you to bless it, to use it, change more lives at Keystone Church, impact more families for you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, as you're giving, check out this video on the holiday dinner right around the corner.
I love Christmas. I love the holidays. And one of my favorite traditions at Keystone Church is our women's holiday dinner. This is a night you don't want to miss. This event sells out quick, so go online and register today. See you there. Oh, we do hope to see you there. We are just days away. And can we tell you, ladies, everybody, this is the biggest event we've had outside of our weekends in Keystone's history. So we are looking forward to this night. We have sold out Tuesday night, but good news, we have a few spots. Just Do we still have some?
Yes, we still have a few spots.
A few spots left for Thursday night. Go online, sign up, come alone. We will prepare a place for you or bring a friend. Either way, I have a message on my heart. Cannot wait to share.
Yes, people have been asking all weekend, what's the white tent out back? What's going on there? That's the holiday
dinner. For the ladies.
We have increased the capacity this year to accommodate your friends and your family. And we want to encourage you, go online, sign up. If you have questions, go to VIP. They'd love, love, love to help you. And before I tell you about our Christmas service, I want to tell you about something that's happened today, 12:30. Every single weekend, people come in, experience Keystone Church. Well, I want to encourage you to take the adventure of joining the movement here at Keystone Church, being a part of the mission that God is doing here at our church. And that's through Starting Point. If you're new to following Jesus, new to church, you're welcome to come hear about Keystone Church and the mission and the exciting vision that God has for our church. It takes place today at 12:30. It's in our Rev Room. We're providing lunch for you. Come back, hanging out with us. We'd love to tell you more about our mission here at Keystone
Church. Yes. You were created to be a part of God's church, so we want to make that so easy for you.
Sure. And then I tell you, 8 services this Christmas for you and your family. Be inviting, inviting, inviting. We start Friday, go all the way through Sunday, Christmas Eve. 8 services.
So 8.
It's going to 8 opportunities is what we say for you, your friends, your family to come, because we believe when people come, their lives are changed. So go online, get your tickets now. Now, so everyone has a place to park and a place to sit in here when they come. It's been an awesome day, huh?
Yes, it has. We look forward to this whole Christmas season with you. Invite your friends, and you guys are dismissed.
You're dismissed. Thanks.
Have a great week.